Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Peaceful Home Birth. Have you ever thought that something is so bad that's happened to you and there's absolutely no way you could ever come back from it? You lost hope that there could be any good in your future. Maybe it's something that happened to you by somebody else, or maybe it was like me and you've had a traumatic birth experience. Whatever it is that has you in this place of just perpetual negativity and loss of hope, I want to talk to you today. I've been there, and actually, tomorrow will be 8 years since having my sweet first baby in a very traumatic delivery. And I find myself every year around this time, each year does get easier, but I find myself reflecting on what happened and just feeling all sorts of feelings. But I want to share the hope and the healing that I've gotten in this episode with you today so that you know that no matter what the outcome of your birth is, it's not the end of your story. Or if something has happened in your past, it doesn't take away the opportunity for you to pursue home birth. So before we get into this episode, I do want to ask you something. Are you sitting there right now wondering if you'll be able to learn everything you need to know to handle labor? You may be Googling breathing techniques and what can I do to manage the pain of labor? There is so much information out there and it can feel really confusing and overwhelming. What if instead of Googling and instead of buying a course that you will most likely never fully finish and not remember, you hop on a free 30-minute call with me? Let's figure out your goal for your pregnancy and labor, and then we'll figure out the information you actually need to know so you can take the best next step. I have limited spots of birth strategy sessions each week, so reserve yours today by going to bit.ly/birthstrategy. Welcome to the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast, where your journey to a joyful and empowered birth experience begins. I'm your host, Allie McLean, a registered nurse, home birth coach, devoted wife, and proud mother to four incredible kiddos. I've walked the path from trauma to triumph, and I'm here to guide you every step of the way. At the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast, we're more than just a show. We're a community of dreamers, believers, and fearless mothers to be. If you're seeking to reclaim your birth story, to transform fear into confidence, and to embrace the beauty of home birth, you found your tribe. My own transformative journey began with a traumatic C-section, propelling me on a quest to uncover the power of home birth. And now I'm on a mission to help you rise above your past, prevent needless C-sections, and stand firmly in the certainty of your dream birth. As a devoted follower of Jesus, I believe that his divine design for birth is inherently good. It is a reflection of his love, strength, and grace. If the dream of home birth has been planted on your heart, know that it's there for a purpose, and I'm here to stand with you as you pursue it wholeheartedly. In a world filled with racing thoughts and doubts, I'm your guide to taking those thoughts captive, making them obedient to Christ, and replacing them with the liberating truth. Together, we'll navigate the challenges that lie ahead, finding not only freedom, but also unbridled joy on your path to motherhood. This podcast is a haven for the woman who has faced the darkness of a traumatic birth and has questioned whether home birth is within her reach. Here we shatter those doubts. Join us for illuminating interviews with remarkable birth workers who share our reverence for the sanctity and splendor of birth. Listen to inspiring women as they recount their triumphant birth stories, each a testament to the strength that resides within you. So whether you're just starting to explore the world of home birth, or you're already on this radiant journey, the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast is your sanctuary, your wellspring of knowledge, and your unwavering support system. Get ready to be inspired, to be empowered, and to embark on a path that leads you to the birth you've always dreamed of. It's time to experience the Holy Spirit's power, to embrace the beauty of birth, and to create a legacy of love and strength. Are you ready to transform your birth experience? Let's dive in.
All right. Well, today I want to hop right into the trauma. I've kind of broken this into three different categories, and I just want to take you through the process that I went through from experiencing a trauma to the triumph. So first, we're going to be talking about what happened, the trauma. Well, it started out with fear, as do most poor decisions. There was a fear of something. And for me, I had fully embraced the social and cultural message that birth was extremely dangerous and needed to be managed and needed to be overseen by people who knew what birth could be like and knew how to handle it so that my baby and I could be safe, right? So out of that fear, there was a lack of ownership. Instead of saying, you know what, I am going to trust that the Lord made my body in order to birth a baby and that his design was good and I can make empowered decisions from this place. Instead, out of fear, I brought my decision making to my provider, who, granted, I saw twice throughout my whole pregnancy. I saw her PA the most of the time. But I pass off responsibility of decision making to everybody else, right? So I didn't own that this child that I had been given was mine to steward, was mine to protect. Instead, I thought somebody else could do a better job of protecting my baby than I could. And so, therefore, the decisions followed. And I'm sure you can already see where this is going. But as happens most of the time when you pass off your decision making, you feel very disempowered and therefore disconnected from your intuition and your instincts, these God-given gifts that were given in order to protect. I totally was disconnected, right? My instincts, that whole really pregnancy and birth, they only came back online when they were rolling me back to the OR and I wanted to run, but my legs wouldn't allow me to due to the epidural, right? At that moment, I was running away from this fear. But I couldn't, I was stuck. So what happens when you are stuck in a trauma and you can't get away? You can't escape it. You just have to go through it. What is your protective mechanism? Well, for me, it was dissociating. And I remember being on the OR table and seeing the lights and being like, I'm not here right now. Like, I felt a total body spirit like split in that moment. There was no part of me that wanted to be in that room. And so I honestly forgot a lot about what happened that day. I have maybe some snippets of memories here and there. Honestly, I don't even really remember if like the anesthesiologist there was like a guy or a girl. I think maybe a guy. I barely remember them showing my daughter. I don't remember if I held her in the OR. I don't think I did. There was just that moment where I was like, I don't feel like I'm even in my body right now. And that was scary. That's something I don't know if I've ever experienced in my life before. It's definitely something I never want to go through again. But what did that lead to? Well, that led to PTSD and postpartum depression and a very, very hard first year of being a mom and a very disconnected year of being a mom. I was purely in survival mode and I did not enjoy it. I did not enjoy my life for a whole year. I was extremely, extremely traumatized from that experience. And I do have to say that there's people who go through very similar things and don't have this happen to them, but they may have their own traumas that they've been through and has impacted their life. And the message is the same, that the Lord can take what has happened and he can use it for your good. And I'm extremely thankful for that. So just as I'm reflecting this year, I see this trauma as something that has happened, but not something that had to stay. I didn't have to stay connected to this memory and the feelings, and they did not have to dictate my life and the direction that the Lord wanted me to go. Okay, and now it's time to share one of my sponsors with you. After my first birth, which ended in a traumatic C-section, I started researching literally everything, including things that go in and on me and my family's body. I started getting rid of everything, first starting with cleaning products and then over-the-counter meds. But makeup has been the hardest thing for me to replace. It seems as all the natural makeup is in powder form, and with the type of covers that I like, it just was not cutting it. That's when I found Araza Beauty's all-in-one coconut cream foundation. This foundation actually improves my skin while providing sun protection and, of course, even coverage. With a dewy finish, almost like a BB cream, it's perfect for everyday wear. Plus, it's packed with ingredients like jojoba oil, probiotics, antioxidants, and zinc oxide, which provides SPF 28 coverage. I also love that Araza Beauty is a woman-owned and dedicated to giving back to victims of domestic violence. I feel great about supporting this company, which makes its super luxurious makeup even more satisfying. Now, I recommend with starting with the foundation. See what I did there, foundation? You won't regret it. Just to make it easier for you, Araza is giving my listeners a special discount of 15% off. So go to arazabeauty.com and use the code EMPOWEREDBIRTH at checkout. So the truth, right? The trauma was I had fear, which led to a lack of ownership, passed off decisions, felt disconnected, dissociated, and had a very hard first year of life or first year of being a mom with PTSD and PPD. But the truth is, allowing fear to run your life will never benefit you, right? Fear is not always bad because it can protect you, right? The Lord has built in protective mechanisms like the fight, flight, or freeze to protect you. If we see danger coming, we run, right? We see a car coming towards us, we turn our wheel. We are afraid in that moment, and so we react. So it's not all the enemy, but it is something to not allow to run your life, right? So what is the opposite of fear? Well, it's love. And God is love. If he is the one ruling your life, you're seeking after him, he is going to cover you in whatever situation you're in. And this is a verse that I have held near and dear to my heart, and I speak it over my children at night. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Okay? Fear can be an indicator that something needs to change. But when it starts to rule your life and you make decisions from that place, the consequences will be detrimental. So fear is a liar. Now, God, when it comes to lack of ownership, what's the truth about that? Well, God says this baby is a gift from him, right? Psalm 127:3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Now imagine getting a gift of a beautiful diamond, right? From somebody you absolutely love and they love you. It's priceless, right? This is a gift that's priceless. But you don't feel like it's fully yours yet. Okay? You make a very critical mistake, and that is you pass off the responsibility, right? It's just the natural outflow from not owning something is that you don't take care of it and you pass off the responsibility. It's a lot easier to do that when you're not accepting that gift for what it is. So your diamond, it's not ready for you yet, right? You have to pick up out the chain, the setting, whatever you want it to look like. It's not fully ready. It's there, but not quite yet. And instead of accepting it as yours, right, that ownership piece, and then making decisions, you just go with the flow, right? And wherever this necklace gets left, it's fine. Somebody else can make the decisions for you. All that matters is that it's a diamond and you'll get it somehow, right? What if this person who knows nothing about you, nothing about the person that gave this gift to you, what if they don't know you and they just treat this diamond like it's any old diamond, right? They don't care. They don't have any connection to it. They've seen so many diamonds that it just is too normal, right? They lose the awe and the wonder which this diamond deserves. Now, obviously, this analogy isn't perfect, but you get the point. Your baby is a gift, and it's one that you need to own the responsibility of and the decision-making for. And you need to know about this gift that the Lord has given you and treat it with the awe and the wonder that this baby deserves, right? So the lack of ownership, the passing off responsibilities, the truth is that is yours to have fully. And sometimes that takes work, especially when we're just entering our adult years and our parents have made all the decisions for us. We're not quite used to. I mean, for me, I was a young mom. I had baby. I got pregnant at 23. You know, I hadn't been making very many adult decisions for very long. And so it's new to say, oh my goodness, I have something so precious that I have to take care of and I'm not used to it, right? Sometimes it takes practice. But kind of looking at the truth of what happens on the opposite of being disconnected to your intuition and your instincts. First off, I think we have to look at what intuition is. It's that gut reaction without the conscious knowing, without the logical brain understanding what's going on. You just know, right? Some people have a better, easier time of like, I just go with my gut, very much a gut person. My life has been, I don't know, not ruled by, but I listen to my gut quite often. And that really started happening after I realized that I wasn't using this gift like I was supposed to when I was pregnant with her, with my first. I didn't use it. And the Holy Spirit really does grow us into be more like Christ-like. And when we experience Jesus and we know him deeper, our intuitions will become more and more helpful to point us to him and the truth more often. I don't think your gut should drive your whole life, right? I think we can be mistaken and led astray. But that's why it's so important to be in alignment with him. And just know, like, this is a tool, and like any tool can be abused. We need to make sure that it's being used in an appropriate way. But what I see on the opposite side too often is that women are just being told something. And even though their gut may be saying, oh, I don't know, I should maybe question that, they just pass it off and they ignore it. And that over time is just going to dull what your gut is saying. You're not going to trust it anymore. You've never given it a chance to be trusted. But that intuition is way more like spiritually connected than instincts are, right? And it can be influenced by darkness and light. So again, align yourself with him. Allow the Lord to guide you and the Holy Spirit to use your intuition as that tool to direct us where he wants us to go. Now, instincts, they are meant to keep us safe, right? God made us with instincts for our protection. It's very primal and it's more body connected, right? So we are needing to practice self-preservation and survival. Those are things that at the very core is something daily that we do. We seek out food, right? We know we need to, a very basic instinct is like that hunter-gatherer, right? These are things that the Lord has built into us to live and to be preserved for our survival. Now, we can control our instincts, right? We don't have to always act on instincts, but I find this very interesting. So some scientists found that the connection from the prefrontal cortex, right? That is like a decision-making, it's like logical side of your brain, is to a very specific region of the brainstem. And this is called the PAG, which is responsible for the acting out of our instincts, okay? It doesn't affect the hypothalamus, which is the region that controls feelings and emotions. So the prefrontal cortex keeps our behavior in check, but it doesn't affect the underlying instinctive feeling. Okay, so let's say that it's instincts that when you get on stage, you get this feeling of like jittery butterfly, and so you run off the stage. Well, your prefrontal cortex is preventing you from running off stage, and you can push through. You can overcome your instinct to do what you need to do, but you're still going to have an instinctive feeling, right? So your prefrontal cortex controls that behavior, so you don't run off the stage, but you're still going to have the butterflies in your stomach. And I think this is really important to know as we're planning birth, because fear may still be there, right? And you may still feel the need to, oh, I don't know, run away from something scary. But if we can logically know that in this moment, it's better to overcome, we're aligned with him, we know that God has given this dream on our heart, and despite this instinctual fear, whatever is coming up, we can overcome our behavior and push through. So ultimately, being in connection and alignment with the Lord is going to help us align our intuition and our instincts so that we can pursue what he wants us to. So what the culture says around you and the societal norms can impact how you react to your instincts. And we see this all the time in birth, right? People are constantly told that birth is unsafe and needs to be managed, right? And they go down that same line of thinking that I did. And we see the same outcomes over and over and over again, where we can name things like the cascade of interventions. Like, everybody knows about this at that point, but it doesn't start with the cascade of interventions. It starts with what the culture is saying about birth and what our deep-seated beliefs are that we're operating out of. Right? So going on, moving on to the truth about dissociation. Okay, this was very interesting to research from a Christian perspective. I mean, dissociation isn't exactly talked about too often in like Christian circles. And it is kind of hard to share, like, oh yeah, I literally felt like I left my body and I don't remember a lot of things from that time because I was so traumatized that I didn't want to be present in that moment. Especially when it comes to birth. Now, like things like assault, I mean, people dissociate from that all the time. It's a God-given self-protective mechanism, right? It helps us deal with these traumatic situations in a way that doesn't completely overwhelm us, and then it allows us to cope with life. Maybe not cope well, but it allows us to continue living and to continue to survive, right? Dissociation occurs when the intensity of a trauma overwhelms our normal ability to cope. Right? We can't remain consciously aware of what's going on because it's too much. So we just disconnect. We go to another part of our mind that takes over and it functions for us, right? Or it's like more present for that trauma. And then we hide in a different part of our mind where it's safe, where that trauma isn't happening there. And then when it's over, the other part of the mind just goes away and we don't have any memory. We didn't experience it, right? Well, the thing is, our behavior can be affected by the subconscious memory. So just because we don't remember or we feel fine or we like moved on past that trauma, it doesn't mean that the subconscious memories that are there that cannot be consciously thought about, it can still be affecting our behavior and our decision making. So something that happened to me, some behavior that was affected by subconscious memories is, well, we're so right after I had my first Cora, I would see headlights on occasions and I would get flashbacks of the OR lights. It's like that part of my brain was activated when I saw lights in a certain way. And then my legs would stop moving. I couldn't drive until that part of my brain kind of like shut back down. And then I was able to come back into my body and drive normally. It would just happen at crazy parts. For example, like I couldn't drive past the hospital for a while because I would start feeling in my body this like constricting feeling of, I don't know if it was the straps on my arms, but my body was experiencing things because that memory was triggered in my subconscious. So healing comes, it comes when the subconscious memory and the feelings associated with it disconnect. Okay. So this was a process for me. And once I learned that it could be healed, that I didn't have to live like that anymore, I got so much hope. So some things that I have used over the years and that I've heard other people use with great effect, I think I do have another episode on somebody talking about their birth trauma and a therapy that they used, and that is not in here, but Splunkna. There is an episode on Splunkna not too far back. You can look up that. Aroma freedom technique, that is taking essential oils and working through disconnecting the memory with the feeling. And that was powerful. EMDR, that's eye movement desensitization. So that can help, again, process that trauma that is more in your subconscious. So there is hope. There's healing. I know just because you can't consciously recall something, sometimes that feels like too much to overcome. But there are tools that you can use. There are different therapies that you can use, specific counselors who know how to access that subconscious and help you get rid of that part that was dissociative is extremely powerful. And I would say it's very much worth doing when you're not pregnant, before you have another baby. I would highly, highly suggest doing that. Now, the truth about postpartum depression, PTSD, and how it affects you postpartum. One, that's not God's plan. It's become so normalized that, oh yeah, I've had PPD and or anxiety or rage, and we just accept that as normal. It's just hormonal and it just is what it is. I mean, motherhood is not easy, but then having a birth that contributes to mental health problems, it's just not an ideal way of starting your motherhood journey. It's not just hormonal, okay? When I was able to realize that I wasn't broken or I wasn't feeling all of these heavy feelings because my hormones were just messed up, it was literally because I was given medication that has contributed and has been shown by studies to increase your likelihood of having postpartum depression, which is Pitocin, by the way. I was drugged. I was incapable of moving. My baby wasn't put on my chest for like 2 hours. I was extremely disconnected because I wasn't able to make empowered decisions. And looking back at it, I know that so much of it started with the fear that I had. I had not overcome it. I had not even known that that was a problem, to be honest. But knowing that there is healing and there is restoration. So that's where the triumph comes in, okay? So the triumph started very small. but man, the Lord is so good to take trauma and turn it into triumph. And it started with counting each day as a victory, right? Okay, I had one more day of breastfeeding my baby. I made it one more day. I had one day of saying I love you and actually meaning it, right? I had one day of feeding myself, of getting dressed, of feeling like a normal human being. I had one day of being vulnerable with my feelings to somebody else, opening up, telling them how I felt. This turned into more and more days. It turned into more and more normalcy, but it started very small. And especially like when it came to breastfeeding, I think that's where I saw the biggest breakthrough. Postpartum is, okay, I'm just going to give it one more day, one more day, one more day. And then that turned into 3 months. And by 3 months, I had done so many one days that I was like, okay, I can give it another month. And then that other month turned into another, and we ended up nursing, I think it was like 18 months. And it was wonderful, and it was so redemptive because this is something that I made a conscious decision to do. And even though it was hard, even though I felt like I had a lot to overcome, I was able to do that. And that proved to me that I was able to do hard things I was able to overcome. So another triumph is questioning. Hey, okay? The doctor said that my pelvis is too small. I'd always need C-sections. The power came from questioning what somebody in authority or perceived authority had told me. Okay. And even if I didn't like the answer, it's still a win. It's still a win to question. And that is the very first step into becoming empowered. So I encourage you, ask questions. That's a very amazing place to start. Now, listen to your intuition and pray. That is another part in questioning, right? So somebody has said something, but what does the Lord say? What my doctor said I would never be able to blank, okay? Why was home birth on my heart so strongly? If that was true, but the Lord was saying, pursue this, even though it didn't make logical sense, who should I trust? Who should I believe? And I mean, oh my goodness, in our Western culture, so much we elevate the doctors to some godlike status of, well, they must know something so much more than I do. They, for example, my doctor literally cut through layers of flesh and muscle and fascia to see my pelvis. She said she saw it, and once she saw it, she knew I'd never be able to have children vaginally. My pelvis didn't work. It was broken. If I had allowed that to be true and be my reality, I would not be where I am today. I don't know where I'd be, to be honest. But I'm thankful I questioned, and I'm thankful that I listened to my intuition and I prayed and I asked the Lord for direction. When I started to see home birth as an option, my brain started searching out opportunities that I had no idea existed. It casually would come up in a conversation, and I'd be connected to somebody who had a home birth that had connections to midwives. And I got names of other people who would support me. And then I eventually found my community that I have today that I love so dearly. So, question friends, that doesn't make you bad to ask questions to people in authority. In fact, that is a very powerful place to be. And then the next triumph was the fact that I made a decision, right? I could have stayed in fear and allowed that fear and allowed the curses that other people had placed on my life to dictate my decisions, but I didn't. And again, the payoff is huge. But sometimes it's really hard to say, yes, I'm going to make this decision, even though it doesn't seem logically right. But I have prayed. My intuition is telling me, the Holy Spirit's leading me, the doors are opening for this thing that somebody said I'd never be able to do, right? I will say, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. What you allow people to say, and then what you say out from your mouth has an impact. I didn't used to believe that. I thought in my 20s I knew it all. And of course, I couldn't manifest my reality because that's very new age. And so I didn't believe this. But friends, it is biblical. Our tongue, read James, what is it, 3? Our tongue is powerful. It can wreck ships, it can burn down forests. And what we say matters on a deep, deep level. And I would even go as far to say probably on a quantum level. Okay. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but there is so much out there. I don't think we understand. What I know is that I don't want to risk saying curses over my life, over my children's life. And I definitely don't want to allow other people to say that into my life and my children's lives. So I'm not accepting this curse of your pelvis is too small. You're broken. You'll never be able to do this. I also don't want to accept any labels, right? So now I don't accept that I'm depressed. I have PPD, or I'm just an anxious person. I'm blah, 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 whatever. Add it in there. When I said that and I accepted that as who I was with my first, I started living through that lens, right? But when I realized that what I say and the lens that I live my life through, I started changing it to I'm an overcomer. I can do hard things. I can explore options people told me weren't possible, right? Living from that place has changed my life dramatically. Even with my last birth, when I was experiencing what some may call postpartum depression, I did not want to accept that as that's just what I am. I'm going to accept that. I'm going to live in it. I'm going to wallow. I'm going to get on medication. No, I'm going to say I'm struggling, right? I'm going to reach out for help. I'm feeling this way. I'm going to feel my feelings. I'm going to invite the community around me that loves me and wants to help me. And I'm going to walk through and work through whatever this is going on. You guys, that lasted a couple of months, okay? Compared to the full year of utter just horror that I had that first year of experience postpartum depression, it was night and day difference. And again, that's where community comes in. That's a whole other podcast episode. Yeah, but just watching what you are saying with your words. And then the next triumph is following through, right? I sought healing from a traumatic birth. I followed through. I accepted that I needed help, that I needed counseling, that I needed therapy. I wanted to be a present mom. I wanted to be healthy and engaged. And so I did. I looked into so many different options, and I truly did overhaul my life physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And that took investing in it. And I'm so thankful I did, because that investment has not just paid off for my own health, but when I'm healthy, my whole family is healthy and thrive. So I followed through on the dream that God had placed on my heart despite a doctor's diagnosis, a couple of doctors' diagnoses, actually. And you can listen to more in episode 89 about that. But birth can be so redemptive, it can be healing. And I hear stories of it all the time where somebody has a horrible birth experience, or just even maybe a subpar. A non-empowered birth. And then they go on to have a birth that was euphoric and blissful and peaceful. And it changes their life. It changes their outlook. It healed parts of them they didn't even know were broken or hurting. It can be so, so healing. But even more than like getting a healing birth, the fact that God can use all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes, that's in Romans 8:28. Even more than like getting an outcome that we want, we know that no matter what happens, he can use that outcome for good. And there is such peace and hope in that promise, that, yeah, I just want to be walking in his will and what he has for me. And that kind of leads into this last point of triumph is your story can be used to help others. right? Triumph is when I hear that the work that I do has impacted others, has helped others pursue the dream that God has placed on their heart. God used my trauma, He turned it into triumph so I could help others do the same. And that's powerful because looking back when I was in the midst of my trauma, I would never have seen the light. I would have never thought that God could take me this far, that He could give me a platform, that He could bring women into my life that I could encourage and pray over and speak life and truth over. Sometimes I ask God, like, why did you call me to birth work? Why can't I just be like a woman's, I don't know, work in a church, like as a woman's leader or whatever? That's just not where He has me. And many times He takes what your trauma was and He gives you a ministry in that area. He takes you from overcoming to an overcomer that can help others do the same. Now, He knows more than I do. I just want to keep following His lead. But the fact that this podcast is almost to 100,000 downloads, and that means there's thousands of women who have heard that peaceful home birth is possible, is absolutely mind-blowing to me. Again, when I was, you know, let's say 2 weeks postpartum, I was in the depths of misery and heartbreak. And I could have never thought that the Lord could lead me through to a triumphant purpose, right? But I'm able to connect with women and answer their questions and encourage them to pursue the dream that God has placed on their heart. And that to me is triumph, right? And I remember when the Lord started laying this business on my mind and on my heart, and it was right after I had my second baby. So this would have been probably July of 2018. And I never thought that I would have a podcast, to be honest. It's funny how he leads in that way, but I just know that the safest place for you to be is in God's will. And so being in connection and community with others who are following Him and His purposes, that's a great place to be. So find your community. And if you're a first-time mom, home birth mom, who's looking for encouragement and help in preparing, reaching your goals this pregnancy, and to have a peaceful home birth, please schedule a birth strategy call with me and we'll work together to figure out the next best step for you. I really, really care that more and more women find this as an option. And going back to when the Lord laid this business on my heart, I remember saying, like, if one woman can avoid the trauma that I did, this will all be worth it. It will all be worth it. And so maybe you're that one. Maybe you're that one who hops on the call with me and the Lord, you know, reveals something to you through that call that changes your life. Gosh, that would be triumphant, right? For all involved. So schedule at bit.ly/birth strategy to schedule that. Yeah, just as an ending encouragement for you, God can use your trauma and turn it into triumph. Maybe it wasn't necessarily like a traumatic birth, but it's something else that others have spoken over you, or maybe it's an experience you've had. And I just want you to know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He has more for you than you could ask or imagine. So just keep pursuing Him. He will continue to bring you into new levels of adventure. And it is amazing. So pursue your adventure in the context of community so we can all support you on your journey. Do that by joining our Facebook group and go to facebook.com/groups/peacefulhomebirth. Introduce yourself. It is a growing group of passionate women pursuing home birth and loving Jesus while they're doing it. And it's amazing. I love it so much. So thanks for joining me on this episode of Peaceful Home Birth. If it was helpful for you, please leave a review or share with a friend. And as always, peace be with you. I hope you loved today's episode and found it so helpful and encouraging.
If you did, would you take 30 seconds to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend who has been praying for a peaceful home birth? Lastly, make sure you get my free download of my complete home birth essentials checklist. Make sure you have everything ready to go so you're able to feel at peace and confidence leading into your home birth. This printable checklist has all of the important but less glamorous or thought of items that I have found to be so incredibly helpful to have at a home birth after working with many clients in person. Now, get it by clicking the link in the show notes. And as always, thanks for listening and peace be with you.